නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ අත කෝ මා ගන්ධියයේ හිකේචි සමනාවා බ්‍රාහ්මනාවා විගත පියාසෝ අජ්ජත්නම් වූපසන්න චිත්තා විහංසුවා විහෙරන්තිවා විහෙරිසන්තිවා සබ්බේ තේ කාමානං ඒව සමුදයංච අත්තගමංච ආදීනවංච අස්සාදනංච ආදීනවංච නිස්සරණංච යතා භූතං විජිත්වා කාමතන්නං පහාය අජ්ජත්නම් වූපසන්න චිත්තා විහංසුවා විහෙරන්තිවා විහෙරිසන්තිවා තීති dear venerable Dhamma friends, now we are still further proceeding with the summary of the last few talks in our mind, leading along the particular discourse known as Magandhiya Sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya, whereby the Buddha somewhat convinced the Magandhiya, whether you are a king or a kingly person or a ministerial level, whatever it may be, as far as you are with unsatiable liking for the sensuous pleasure and you have a fever of chasing for this sensuous pleasure, they will never get the inner peace. They will never get at peace, and so they are in utter desperate. So do you know that? Then the Magandhiya says, I accept it, as I mentioned yesterday. And then the Buddha himself says, I was like that. But instead, if you are thinking this living like a kingsley and palace life or ministerial level elite life is the production, is the productivity, is the progress, and you will see you will never even be introvert. You will never see the internal peace or contentment, never. Instead, the Buddha says, may be a recluse or a Brahmin, understand this. Understand the external development and external materiality and external luxurious life is never appeasing. It's ever-developing thirst, ever-developing for the feverish feeling, desperation. And with that understanding, if he take the solitude, if he take monasterial life or a meditative life, he or she has to understand, he or she has to experience the rising and passing away of this sensuous desire. Not that you are carried away by the sensuous pleasure or desire, to understand how does it rise and how does it ceases to exist. So understand the rising and passing away is the way forward. Even though if we deduced, even if we inferentially knew, but he has to deduce the rising and passing away of the sense pleasure. No one will put that into experiment as far as you have the thirst for that, as far as you have the fever, that means one-upmanship, and to go before the other person and try to grab it and result-oriented, this crazy world. They never see the rising and passing away of the the sense pleasure. They will never get a motivation, because it is always extrovert. You will never get the motivation to see inside, see the inner pressure. On top of that, the Buddha says, Asadanta Adinavancha Nissaranancha. But to have the, how the world at large go towards the gratification of sense pleasure. And it's very obvious. Wherever you go, that is the thing we are being taught, we are teaching it, and experimenting, all the researchers are for the sensuous gratification, or indulgence, we can say. And you immediately can see, those who are going for that kind of a thing, they are not without disadvantages, not without dangers. So they are very short-lived, and there is a very dangerous diseases and economical hazards. And the socially they are destroying others. So likewise, poor sense gratification is leading to quick dangers, and that is also one has to understand. Some of the present-day yogis, they have underwent that kind of gratification and indulgence, and then they felt the disadvantages, either themselves or within the family or within the friends, and they can understand. But that also never leads to the proper understanding and the proper proportion, what is happening and why it is happening. Because everyone is following the bad way. Everyone is following this modernity, development, and the creativity. These terms you have to understand with the due meaning. And then ultimately they are asking the question extrovert. They are going for counseling. They are going for the system to ask the answers never they can have. Because these things are due to the system only created this kind of thing. Due to the bad association, hardly one person can, the Nissaranancha, they will understand the best thing is to give up these things. Even though it is, people call it as productivity or proliferation and lucrative nature, you have to give up. That is a very rare thing, very occasionally, very rarely only one person will understand. Not only seeing the rising and passing away of the sensuous pleasure, and so you have to give up. That is giving up, we call renunciation. And that you are renouncing, not due to someone else hearsay. You have to understand it. Enough examples are there, enough society at large, you can see. But hardly someone can take that kind of a nissarana. Nissarana means the renouncing. So renouncing is the one the Magandhya is telling, destroyer of growth. So lucky enough, we people done it without each other's prompting. We have done it by ourselves. I have done with myself. No one of you were there when I am taking the decision. And each one of you never consulted me, never had any idea of meeting each other, but we have done it. That is the greatest. Because that is doing away with the transgressional kind of defilements. Most gross. This is the thing, destroying the world. Politicians are either, I don't know whether they are thinking, if they are thinking, they are just thinking in terms of transgressional kind. Otherwise, they will put you into the jail, or the police will come and grab you. And the economic people, they don't care. There are no ethics, simply, in the monetary world. And social people, how to make rich societies and all the amenities, they don't care about more than any transcritional kind. So therefore, they are thinking at the very lowly level of, but anyway, it's a good thing, rather than transgressing, they are talking about the not to transgress. But once you renounce, that is the feature, you are no more killing or advising to kill, or you are not living by things earned by killing. You are not robbing, you are not promoting it, you are not living by that kind of a business. And you are not sexually misconduct, you are not promoting people to have sexual misconduct, and you are not living by them. And you are not lying, slandering, harsh words and tale carrying. You are not promoting them, and you are not living by. Of course, we monks, we are going on begging bowl. Have with the begging bowl, and we travel and we beg. While the Bharadwaj and Mahagandhi were talking in the first episode, Buddha was on the arms rounds. So when such a thing happened, such a kind of a restraint, but it is not enough. You have to sit, you have to do away with the obsessional kind of defilements. That is to say, the five hindrances. The Kamachanda is the shadow, is the primordial form of the sexual misconduct. Kama Mithyachara is being represented as Kama Chanda, the sexual desire. It never appear like a defilement. It never appear like a uncivilized. That's why the political, economic and social people utterly making use Kama Chanda to promote you, to motivate you, simply by looking at the, but looking at advertisements, you can see how much they are using it. And it is completely accepted fact in the business world. There we are spending 30-40% of money for advertisement. Any bloody product will be advertised in the same, in the almost filthy way. And Vyapada is the hatred. Total education system is based upon hatred. More you educated, more you short-tempered. I was laughing at, but I am not a very good bright student. So I had the common sense in the primary, secondary, university, postgraduate. You can understand when you are earning BS, we call bullshit. When you come up to the MS, MA, more shit. When we become PhD, piled deep and high. But when I was trying for the postgraduate, oh, there was a heavy respect to have that kind of a thing. So therefore, education system and the media and the other, the top politicians, utterly hate. And this has become very common by switching off the television. That tube of illusion is an important, essential part in our living room. Parents never understand, by giving that, of course they can get their own freedom, because children completely adhere. And television came to Sri Lanka in 1971, went for the alignment conference, and only few came. And the president gave the permission for the television, that was black and white television. And there was a very renowned monk, he told, okay, you can start it, you can't stop it. And they have done a research in USA. At that time, there were one state or province where the TV signals cannot reach. It is a geographically. And they have done the social survey to understand the towns where you have TV for the children and that particular area, no TV. And how much they are friendly each other, how much they are associate with the parents and the society rather than the Disneyland and the Disney animals. And therefore they named it as a tube of illusion. And it is now very common. It is now very common. More that comes, more hatred. So, and whenever it is not there, the sloth and torpor, slumber, the congealed mind. So, education, whenever you go to the education system, children, they are not attentive to the class because last night they have spent so much of time for the TV or this tube. So, likewise, this is happening and when you go to the sleep, you never get sleep. You have to have sleeping tablets. America itself is using so much of tons of sleeping tablets per day. Whenever they are go to the office or driving, sleepiness happen. So that kind of jammed mind. And Uddacha Kukkucha, regret about the past and future excitements. So both we call wandering mind or fantasizing. Or daydreaming. So this is what we are promoting by media, by the social media and the government media. So they never allow you to be here and now. Utterly program not to keep the mind here and now. Leave it aside, all the media and all the provocation and kind of. Even if you wish to keep the mind with your whole sincere effort, how difficult, how easy for any kind of a thing to provocate you to go to the past and future. And the past and future is so lucrative, it is so storytelling, it is so dramatic. So you feel, you don't feel the time passing. But whenever you come to the here and now, boring, very, very monotonous. And you feel sloppy, sleepy, and your head fall down, and your posture will be slack. So whenever it is in the past and future, that is not there. And the doubt. And leave it aside the doubt about the killers and robbers and sexual misconduct people. Even among the meditators, how much they are doubtful about whether I am mindful or not, whether I am progressing or not, whether I am in the samatha or not, what to do. Each and every meditative report is end up with a question mark and a doubt. So they are really practicing, they are really advancing. They themselves can see. But indulgence of this doubt is appearing as the knowledge. This is the perversion. Vichikicca mukena Panya mukena vichikicca vancheti. So we are keep on asking questions and indulging, provoking the doubts. So I am to use this term, that appear like artificial intelligence. Doubt about the present is there, but doubt, no doubt about the fantasizing, daydreaming, all the kind of thing, they appear like artificial intelligence. So these five hindrances appear like a shadow of the sensual pleasure. So whenever each thought moment you are in mindfulness, you are not away done, you not done away, only done away with the sensuous pleasure, you have done away the perception of the or the shadow of the sensuous pleasure. So there you can understand each thought moment of mindfulness is such a rebellion, it's such a turning point. And once that happened, then Buddha says, whenever you are in the primary object, maybe face to face with the primary object, and sometimes you are assured and verified that I am mindful. Sometimes you may just feel that no much of tension and frustration, or you may feel kind of a comfort or kind of a contentment. And there you can understand behind how much the sensuous pleasure, related thoughts and related sensations happens, and how much related with the hatred and liking and disliking, all the kind of things are happening. So you usually do, what you do is you hate them. You think, what a kind of a thing, whenever I earn such a precious thought moment of mindfulness, there is a kind of a desire, there is a kind of a liking and disliking. So how can I do? What can I do? They are expecting omnipotent, omnipresent God to come and help. Please give me thought of mindfulness or present moment. Please don't give me arising and passing away of the sensuous pleasure. So without understanding them, with the help of the concentration, with the help of the keeping the mind face to face with the primary object, with the help of the sustainable the mindfulness, one has to understand the rising and passing away of this sensuous pleasure. So that part, it is whenever the sensuous pleasure happens, usually in the meditation sphere, some says not, or focus the attention to your primary object, so much so you must look at the primary object more closer and more in a diligent and vigilant way, so that your distance between the observed object and the observing mind will be reduced, so that there won't be any intrusion of the sensuous thoughts and sensuous attraction. That is to observe very immediately and very closely. Or otherwise, in the Samatha techniques, it says, try your best, go to a forest and have a solitude place, whereby no much of sensuous provocations, and try to do away, even at least in your early part of your meditation, and there won't be. So when we are behaving in a meditation center, we must never provoke. We must never behave or talk or think in that line, because it is disturbing the good vibration in the atmosphere. So therefore, we have do's and don'ts. We have regulations. That is, whenever I myself get disturbed, don't let others also have that disturbed and distracted mind. So therefore, your behavior must be like that. But in Vipassana way, as the Buddha mentioned, once you learn the two techniques of noting your primary object and observing it very closely, and don't do it willfully, volitionally, but there may be some arising and passing away of the sensuous or sexual desirable thoughts. So you have to see them, you have to confront them. But to confront such a thing, you must be armed with faith, mindfulness, and your precepts. Saddha, sati, and sila. So whenever you are going to the battlefield, confronted with the enemy, if you become the first, enemy will be killed. If the enemy is going to be the first, you are the person to succumb. So whenever you are dealing with the sensuous pleasure or desire or kamachanda, arising and passing away is such a risky thing. That is why beforehand you must have mindfulness, and you must have a certain amount of concentration or the focused mind, and you must understand even with that mind is wandering like a monkey. And whenever the sensuous pleasure is very tiny, very little, you just learn how to confront it. When you are confronting, you must be armed with. So Likewise, when you are doing, as Upandita Sayadaw used to say, in a boxing, there are number of rounds in the very first, second, third. Both the rivalry and the person is very, very energetic. So they have to struggle. They have to keep on fighting. And towards the latter part of the cycles only, you have to understand when to give a knockout shot so that it will fall down till it is counted up to 10. Likewise, the more you practice, more and more deep, more and more profound kind of sensuous feeling about to happen. Early you start with a very thin, very general one. But when you keep on practicing, not only you are sitting and walking, you are having your day-to-day time, even in the atmosphere, meditation atmosphere or monastic atmosphere, or when you're at home, and when you go to the supermarket, when you go to the carnival, you can see what are the conducive factors for the sensuous feelings to happen. Because they are not unsocial. In the society, it's a well-accepted thing. But you are restrained. Not only the moral restraint, not only the concentration restraint, you are now with the wisdom restraint. You are not going there for provoking or stimulating the sensuous desire. But in a day-to-day life, it is simple. Even when the monks are going on pindapatha or alms rounds, the Buddha says that you may see all these kind of bad things and good things. So therefore, before going to the village, before leaving the monastery, keep that in your mind. I can't live without food. I have to go to the village. When I go to the village, they are quite undisciplined. They are not restrained. Village means such. So you have to earn the food because it's an essential part, but not to bring it back. So you have to contemplate, maybe samatha technique or vipassana technique, whatever you do. Likewise, when you are sitting and when you are walking, whenever such a sensuous pleasure arises, it is please, don't accept it as your mistake. You are born with it. The world is such. And indulging of it, if the Mahagandhi are going to say that is the productivity, that's the creativity, that is the advancement, the Buddha says they are born blind people. Bloody blind. But when you are going to do away with the moral precepts or moral restraint and the concentration restraint, how they are sneaking into your stream of consciousness, you can understand. You can't have an opening balance of lack of sense desire. In the physical, verbal action or in mental. The mind, the human mind is such. So the best way, the only way the Buddha mentioned is just confront it. At the beginning it is less. Because you are dealing with the first round, second round like. And you have to mark the time when to go ahead and give the knockout shot. Because other rivals are doing the same. So therefore, day by day when you are practicing, you can understand the gravity of the sensuous pleasure is increasing. Or their subtlety, or their complexity is increasing. So in your report, in your meditation report, at that time you are not much mentioning about I put too much of effort to get the mindfulness, to keep the mind in view with, and so much. So this is becoming a Montessori-like. You can understand whenever the specifically the primary object is about to become subtle and subtle and subtle, the incoming, creep-in type of sensuous desire is multivarious. So one day you may tackle one aspect of it and you feel like a winner. But next day, the sensuous pleasure will come and give a knockout. you are the loser. The judge will never give a favoritism for you if the sensuous pressure is going to give a knockout, you are knockout, no problem. But that does not indicate you are disqualified. To understand the opportunity, you have to understand appamada, you have to understand the diligence. If you are delayed, that is the root cause for the defeat. So as and when it happens, if you can study, if you can be, you can nip it at the bud level. Because you have already done little bit of sensuous pressures happening in the multivarious way. And day by day, they are the pith, the hardcore part, going to happen. And just noting will not answer. Just concentration will not answer. You have to understand, yesterday I went up to the 30%, now it is working at 35%. And tomorrow I have to prepare for 40%. Like you put up the product, the resistance, immunity, and don't expect as far as I have got 30-35, I got the pass mark and now finish. No. Now they are going for the credit and then for the distinction, like your graduation, your caliber is increasing. So that we call usually, the Buddha is referring to that towards the advancement of the sutta. That's a way of livelihood. You have to prepare the livelihood. Partly you must not live with the people, those who are promoting and provoking at their day-to-day activity, the sensuous pleasure. But this is the culture. Our culture is to have a casino, have carnivals, have pleasure trips, have this and that. Specifically the elite group, that is their way of life, party-going life. And if you are not going, you become backward and unsocial. So therefore, they should have a kind of a regular retreats. And you must have your diary filled of that kind of a meeting, meditating people and all the kind of thing. So if someone come and say, you have to say, sorry, this I have booked earlier. So when I was at the age of 20 to 26, like going to parties and kind of thing is a very pleasurable thing, because we young guys go and eat. And I was carnivorous. Later I started the vegetarian, so not for any spiritual ground. I just wanted to restrain. And then I say that if I go there, you may find difficult because I am vegetarian. So you have to make special curries for me. And you are always indulging this and that. And I gave up alcohol. And the last I gave up smoking also. Then ultimately I found like I appear like a black sheep. And they find that I am not entertaining. Just like Magandhya says, I am not productive. I am not social. I am not up to their social status, then I don't know, I can come, but definitely I'll be a burden. So I went to number of such occasions, and I have to come home to have something to eat. So likewise, when the lifestyle is changing, that is a silent sermon for your close friends. You are not telling you are practicing Satipatthana, I am following Four Noble Truths and I am teaching you cause and effect relationship, nothing. You just avoid it. And don't expect your best friend to make this agenda. No, there are no such. So therefore, whenever you are doing, your day by day, prepare your mind, let that the dispositions, your hidden agenda or hidden defilements, how they are taking place whenever there are no bombarding of sensuous pleasure. As far as the sensuous pleasures are bombarding and the eyes are open, ears and everything, so they are hidden, they are sleeping. Whenever input of visual objects, sounds, smell, taste, touch, and the mind, the library shots in your stores were about to bubble up. They are unrelated light. But they are, that is the humanity, that is the way. Whenever you are putting more and more, they get suppressed in your, as Sigmund Freud says, in the subconscious. But whenever you manage to not to give more and more bombarding sense pleasure or sense impingements, it's not a joke, it's a very serious state. And then only they come out. And when they are coming, it is so sneaking. It is so subtle the way it happens. You can understand how much I have protected this kind of a dirty things in my mind without allowing it happen. We hide it, thinking it is unsocial to talk about this and this is none of the way that I am associating life. But when you become a meditator, you just tell others, when I'm meditating, these kind of unrelated things are happening. And sometimes mindfulness get defeated, like sometimes I can go through it. So more you express it, more you take it under control. I usually give an example. Your household collection and the garden collection, the garbage and kind of thing, we are learned to make compost. Otherwise, they are put into a corner, they will make a bad smell and rotten smell and the germs and ferns and all the kind of thing. But what happened when they put into the sun? All the pathogenic germs will be killed. And only the saprophytic bacteria will come out. And everything become black in color and become the best organic fertilizer. They call composting. So likewise, your everything inside, more you put into the sunlight, that's the cheapest pathogen or bacteria killer. So mindfulness is something like sunlight. More you expose to it, of course, as I mentioned earlier, you must have a certain amount of mindfulness, a certain amount of sila or the morality, and a certain amount of the saddha. And once you're exposed to the sunlight or exposed to the light of mindfulness, you can see it is universal. They can't thrive. Do you know the coronavirus? Everywhere corona may be, but if you know how to tackle it, it will not get infested. So therefore the precaution is very important. And normal people, how come they comes to know the way of life? If they think the productivity means that sense indulgence. If they are going to follow Magandhya, so abundant in present day. But the person who's really, really, really taken it up, and fighting and try to face it, you see how vulnerable. If there is no Buddha, if there is no Dhamma, if there is no fellow practitioners, if there is no sila, unimaginable with the whole world. So therefore, when it's happening, more you confront with the deep layers of very profound states of the sensuous pleasure, you understand so much so, you are seasoning your mindfulness, you so much so, you are diversifying your mindfulness, so much so, you make mindfulness very sharp as efficient, and appear like incessant, day by day, happening. And that is the part, very serious part, that is called vipassana. You are face to face it. And imagine how much you are lucky if you can have another fellow meditator going to share with you, this is the way it happens and these are the tactics and ways and means I tried. And if sharing, we are talking about something dirty, but we try to see the disadvantage of it and how to renounce from them. And therefore we can share our experience in that sense. So the Buddha says, if you have such a prepared mind, or just to get rid of this sensuous pressure and not to have that thirst, not to have that fever, instead inwardly, and then see the rising and passing away of the sense pressure and see how much they are attractive and gratifying. And what about the younger generation? And then you see immediately after, like a moth going and landing on the open flame, burnt. You can feel the smell. But the leftover limbs and the wings, if possible, again come there and land again back on the same flame. So that is the example the Buddha given. And again you are coming to the same. And then the pathetically, they are falling into trap of the all the other things, and the society will come and decide upon you then. So, and then to answer is to get rid of them, and Nisarana is not taught in the curriculum. So therefore, if someone is doing, then the Buddha says, they are the real people, free from this thirst and free from the fever of the X-rated things. So you may think that this is talking about an arahant or the superman or no. But each and every of you experience it in the momentary way. It is such a precious thing. But I am sorry you are not appreciating it. You are appreciating only where the mind is polluted with the desire and liking and disliking. You are making stories. You are fabricating it. But amidst of all the dirty stories, dirty mental proliferation, there are some thought moments. It's simply you can't remember. No perception. So you consider this as early signs of dementia. You may consider this as some kind of a mental disease. Some people go and meet psychiatrists. While I'm meditating, there were some periods I can't understand, and therefore I get up and I get a big shock. It is not so uncommon. So these are the signs, or these are the early signs of that you have that. You have temporary, you have momentary. And when that happens, to pick that thought moments which is not with the sensuous pleasure or perception of sensual pleasure, not only that, the very object that took in order to replace the sense pressure and its shadow, that object also not there. Or in medication jargon, it says that object also became just a perception. Rupa become rupa sanya. And there, you can understand, there is no memory. You don't know the time dimension. You don't know the space dimension. And there are some lapses. So if you are a lover of your body and the life, you consider this as a bad omen. And definitely you go to the psychiatrist. I don't talk much about what happens afterwards. But if you know the Nisarana is the best way, so occasionally you have to pick that. The thought moment is called the natural selection. If you are to select, sorry, I would say, you'd have practiced in the early life also. Otherwise, isolating that, the pure thought moments, very difficult because it's boring. It's very monotonous. It never prolific. They appear like breaks or they appear like clutches. And when it is happening, to pinpoint that, while I'm meditating, at the beginning I have that sensuous pleasure or sensuous perception, and then some or the other I manage to keep the primary object face to face, and lucky enough I see the primary object is becoming subtle and subtle and subtle. At a particular junction, there may be boredom sets in, there may be some monotony, and there may be some perception, there may be some dreaming or half dream or half sleep or lucid dream. So when that happens, non-judgmentally just keep it up. Non-judgmentally, when you are keeping it up, you can understand. So everything is nothing but a perception. The sensuous pleasure is perception. Its perception is perception. Your primary object is perception. And it is appearing and disappearing. And everything is like mano bhubbangama dhamma mano setta mano maya. The mind is the forerunner. And mind is the prime. And it's mind made. And 50%, 80-85% people become worried about that. Manasache paduthena. They react. Bhasatiwa karotiwa. Whatever they are talking about, the malice of meditation, malice of observing the inner state of the mind, but there are some proportion, they are so happy. Now only I make a tunnel from the consciousness to subconscious. And they are so much of library shots, so much of sediments are there. If I got correctly, the Carl Jung, after the Sigmund Freud, he mentioned, subconscious-wise, we all are the same. Anyone go and peep into that, exactly the same. But what is the conscious mind is just the tip of the iceberg. They are only this discrimination, the good and the bad, and time and space, everything. But when you go down, and if you can explain, very good, but there are no words to explain it. We become a beginner. We become a childlike. How to explain the lack of object? How to explain the lack of memory? How to explain the emptiness? Only thing is relative. You can say absence of this and absence of that and absence of this and absence of that. That we can say. And that is appearing now. Good. And when such a thing happen, your nomenclature, your liking and disliking, everything becomes null and void. Because this the frequency of that freedom or thought moments appear very frequently. More frequently. Because your mental attitude, you are adverting to that. Not to the storytelling, not to the colorful things. So you will be kicked off from the society. You will be kicked off from the family. You will be kicked off from the pub. They are talking nonsense. And Friedrich Nietzsche, I don't say he's an enlightened person. He used to go to the pub daily and keep in some coins in the desk. And after having a shot, on the way, he put that coin into the pocket and going back. And the waiter, he told her, so you really come and keep some coins and put back into your pocket and going back. What does it mean? So I am waiting and see if anyone is talking meaningful thing, I thought of giving that. But no one is talking meaningful thing. They are talking about the sense pleasure. They are talking about the objects we can perceive through the faculties. There's a huge world beyond that. That is, we can say anindriyabaddha. Indriyabaddha means related with the eye, ear, nose, tongue. And the visual things, sounds are the subjects. So beyond that, when it happens, you feel like lonely. You never understand it is your aloneness. You never understand that is your product of your meditation or mindfulness. So therefore interviews, discussions and Magandhya Sutta is very important. Just by meditating you will never lead. You will be rather losing your the foundation because you are ill-founded. But when it's going there, here and there, so much of such thought moments, and when it happens, and the day you think, of course, there are a lot of bombardment of the sense pleasure and sense impingements and the desires and the family friends and all the kind of thing. But there are another places you can see the holes in that screen and you can see through. And there you can understand no space, no time, no tension, no frustration. You can there, but before and after the thought moment, yes, frustration, tension is there. So Upandita Sayadaw make a formula. He says, if you know you are mindful and you understand, you verifically you know, as far as I am mindful, no frustration, no tension, and you are face-to-face with the primary object or face-to-face with the mindfulness. And then again, a sensual pleasure came or hatred come. And you comes to know after a while that now I am no more at home. And that very understanding itself is to find a way back home. And soon, if you find way back home, and when you go home, if you can again verify, now I am again mindful, now I am again face to face with the primary object if it is available, then whatever the in between sensuous pleasure, sensuous this thing never defile you. Because before it, you are mindful. After it, you are mindful. If it is so, in between, thing is null and void. This is the only way. This is the best way to say neuroplasticity. This is the best way to say you are evolving. And this is, Buddha is the only one show you to get rid of this bloody sensuous pressure and all kind of thing. Because with respect to the mindfulness, if you are mindful, then you can understand before and after. If you are mindful, in between parties, free of defilements. We are going to have a distraction in the wavelength due to the electricity problem. So if it is so, I have to cut short the talk. So we are deeply into the situation whereby mindfulness versus the defiled mind is the must. For your refinement to happen, you must understand how to capitalize this situation and to go more and more to the mindful thought moments, or thought moments you even can't remember. Don't consider this as a mishap. At the beginning it appeared like that. But after listening that, after getting the interviews done, hopefully you can go prepared. So my talk, I am going to sum up. Please be prepared and face it with your all armaments like mindfulness, faith, and the seal of morality. I wish you all the good luck. Thank you very much for listening.